Let us begin our service with prayer tonight and receive the Lord's blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. So we begin with the singing of Psalm 187 together. Supplication and testimony. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. And what follows in 187, and there of all four verses. I would like to read with you from the letter to the Ephesians, the third chapter this evening. So chapter 3 of Ephesians, beginning with verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me, to your word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So far the reading of this chapter. So let us now seek the Lord and ask his blessing upon our gathering also this evening. Lord God, it is a great privilege again that thou hast brought us here together tonight. And thou also knowest, Lord, why we have desire to come here, to seek thee in prayer, and to separate ourselves for a few moments in this work week, to draw our attention to what we are in this week to prepare for. And that as we will see again, Lord, not only the hearing of the word, but the seeing of the sacramental tokens of the gospel message. And, O gracious God, therefore we have come here together and pray that thou wilt stir our hearts, that thou wilt by thy Spirit draw us away from all what has kept us busy today in mind and body, our regular task of work. And, O Lord, may it please thee to open our minds and hearts for the message and for the instruction that we are to glean this evening from this portion of Paul's letter. And, Lord, in this hour of preparation also we beseech thee that thou, who art an holy God, will also search our hearts. And that also thy children here and among us may be very tender about sin. For sin, Lord, separates, and it will hinder communion. And so search us all, And bring thou to light, Lord, the sins that can be so hidden even for ourselves. Sins that we may have committed and forgotten, that we may have not dealt with in the gospel way, that are unreconciled and uncovered. And, O God, we pray this evening that thou wilt take hold of us if we are unconcerned about our sins, sins that offend thee greatly and dishonor thee. And Lord, lay thy hand upon such of us who can live on without being truly troubled about what should trouble us. Oh, let thy spirit this evening and also bring home that what thou hast brought home to all thy children, that they may be silent before thee. And Lord, lead those of us who are burdened and grieved about the sins that we have discovered again, oh, lead us unto that way by which we may find relief. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And, O Lord, thou art a God who art ready to pardon, but thou knowest how we can be struggling to come unto thee with boldness and with hope in our heart and faith in our heart, that thou art truly so willing to forgive, as thou showed in the parable of the prodigal son. And, O God, maybe there are such tonight who stand afar off, and all who struggle yet to believe that thou art speaking to them personally also. Return and return unto me and forsake your sins and your unrighteous thoughts, and I will abundantly pardon. O, be thou the victor then, Lord, and may also in such hearts the victory of thy grace bring to the liberty of faith. And Lord, will thou restore thy backsliding people? They may have indeed wandered off, and as an Abraham in Egypt, have forsaken even to have an altar of worship, or as a Lot in Sodom, Lord, how far he went. And thou knowest how indeed far thy children can wander off. And may then also this week be as in healing, as a restoring of the backsliding. O God, we thank thee for thy generous promise. Return unto me, and I will heal thee of all thy backsliding. Come, maybe indeed, who of us has indeed so wandered away, be returned, be healed, and may that gracious gospel be sealed again unto the heart and conscience. And Lord, so we pray that thou would bring us all to a personal acknowledgement of our sins and a personal taking refuge unto that Savior that thou hast given and that door that thou hast opened in which sinners may return to thee. We pray for the blessing on the portion of Scripture. Lord, may this particular prayer of Paul also stir our hearts to pray. Let it answer questions we may have come with here. May it bring light and direction in our journey. May it bring life. For thy word, O God, quickens and makes alive. And we pray that thou would help us all to listen for ourselves, and to take along these very truths of Paul into our personal prayer life. That we may be led, O God, to pray like this apostle prayed, at least to pray the substance of his prayer. And that thou would also lead me with thy spirit, O God, as I may expound the riches of thy word in this passage. And, O God, even though we are far away from other scenes of great sorrow and terror. We feel shocked tonight and grieved with the gruesome acts that again have been broadcasted into this world by the evil forces of ISIS. We feel grief with the loss of life again in an airplane that has crashed. And all the other needs and pains, O God, that are experienced in our world. And we cry to Thee also for those who are in leadership, that they may be given wisdom and strength, Lord, to know how to deal with these matters. That Thou will bring comfort and peace, O God, in a way that no man of us can ever bring. Lord, hear Thou our cry. The needs are many, and we know we deserve these scourges upon us. But have mercy upon us, Lord, and use these such terrible ways to also bring many, many more unto Thyself, as Thou buildst Thy church in mysterious ways, far beyond what we would ever expect. And so we bless Thee, O God, that we can be here together tonight in peace. And oh, let the peace of God that passes all understanding fill our hearts for the first time or by renewal. We ask all this also for those who could not be here with us tonight, Lord, maybe at home for various reasons. We pray that Thy blessing may rest upon them also, and especially pray for many friends, Lord, in the weakness of her body, and now also on top of that, pneumonia. O God, we pray that Thou would graciously remember her. Thou knowest the waiting of her soul for that call of return to Thee at Thy time. And Lord, we pray indeed that Thou wilt deliver her body as well as her soul from this world, that she may indeed know of that glory that Thou hast caused her heart to hope upon. We thank Thee for returning Esther safely back from Haiti also, Lord, and the work she's made done there, or what she may have witnessed, let it also be really a blessing for them and her. And so hear us now, O gracious Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing Psalter 30. To Thee, O Lord, I fly, and on Thy help depend. Thou art my Lord and King most high, do Thou my soul defend. So let's sing Psalter 30, and we'll sing all three verses. In the meantime, there is a collection for the general fund. So may the Lord again bless you and your gifts.
Thank you.
I could not but think when I sang this Psalter 30 that we can learn so much of some of God's saints in how they think about the biblical promises and truths that are given to them. This man David had such a small Bible and such a small part of the revelation that we have today. But how few of God's children sing like him in this Psalter today. As you maybe recall what you just sang together, the lot to me that fell is beautiful and fair. The heritage in which I dwell is good beyond compare. And as he then says, I keep before me still the Lord whom I have proved. He lived constantly, as it were. Oh, no, not constantly. He had his times of ups and downs as well. But as his faith soars high in this Psalter and in so many Psalters, don't we feel how midget we are in the days we live? With all the advanced revelations that we have, besides what David had. And congregation, that also therefore has led me to choose the passage from Ephesians 3 today for this evening, and in this preparatory prayer service for the Lord's Supper. The purpose of a service like this is that we pray and that we stir ourselves or seek to be stirred, rather, by the Spirit of God to prayer. And you know, blessings that are won by prayer, they are the sweetest, one of our forefathers said. The ones that we've wrestled on and for, and when they are received, they are doubly blessed of blessings that we may experience. And in this week, one of the ways of preparing is praying. Now, what do we pray for? And how do we pray? And what is it now that God's church here especially needs to be busy with in this very week of preparation as we live towards the celebration of the Lord's Supper on Sunday? Well, one of the best answers is that we look at the prayers in the Bible. And this prayer of Paul in this portion of Ephesians is so rich. And I just desire this evening with God's help to just review some of those petitions. And I hope that you and I can take them along. We got a couple days yet in this week in which to pray over these very scriptures and with this very scripture open, as it were, in front of you. To seek the Lord God for the blessings of what he prays for. So let's just consider what I've gleaned out of these verses from verse 14 to 21. You notice that Paul bows his knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And so he directs his prayer on behalf of the Ephesians, while he is sitting in prison, that they indeed may be filled more and more. Now, Paul has a tremendous love for this church. This is not a church where he has to write a letter to because they're having issues. This church is not a single issue, really, he has to raise in this whole letter. It is a church in which the glory of God is at work, bringing Jews and Gentiles together in one church family. Now, that brought some tensions on every church in the New Testament. But in this church, it seems not to have so many tensions. These men and women that are drawn out of the world or out of the Jewish church are really indeed growing. And as you may review yourself the letter, as Paul begins in chapter 1 with reviewing what they have all received in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this chapter, we find a beautiful prayer. Now, let's consider what we can learn from that this evening. And the first thing that we must learn from that is we need to pray to the Father for spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is a command to God's children. Now you say, how can you command growth? Well, let's listen to the scripture. Grow ye in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit is commanding God's children to do everything that they may grow in their faith, may grow in their knowledge, may grow in their love. God wants his children to grow. Now, how can we grow? Now, notice what Paul does. He's praying. He's praying to the Father for the growth of these saints in Ephesus. And we need to do the same thing. We have privileges as believers, children of God. You have tremendous privileges. And one of the greatest privileges is that we have access into the Father's throne 24/7. In the previous verse, verse 12, Paul writes, in whom we have boldness and access by confidence of the faith of him. He says, because of the faith we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have boldness and access to come to the very Father, to pray that he will cause us the spiritual growth. The door is always open. And the Father is always home. There is never that you will beg or will knock on a closed door. The door is open. Chapter 2, verse 18, Paul says it again. Through him we have both access by one Spirit into the Father. And children of God, you have access through Christ by the Spirit to the very Father, the source of all, the source of every blessing, the secret of every blessing, the power of every blessing, and every grace that we need comes in and out and through the Father. And Paul says, we have boldness and access to come unto him. Are you coming? Are we coming? With that boldness unto that very throne that is opened by the grace of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, boldly come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy for when we need it, and grace for when we stand in need of it, and come assured that he's always ready to hear. Always. He hears the unclean raven that cries to him, the Jehovah God. And we may come in the confidence, church of God. And this is what Paul is speaking to here. To those who have come to repentance and faith, those children of God, he says, you have always access unto the Father. And that's not the only privilege. No, the second privilege that Paul lives in and lives out of is that in Christ, God the Father has given his church all things. Let me just page back in chapter 1, verse 3. Where he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Paul is full of doxology, isn't he? He says, in God the Father, God's children have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He writes it elsewhere in 1 Corinthians 3. And again, let me read that for a moment. And I wonder how many of God's children here live in the faith of that. He says, therefore, let no man glory in men. Oh, let that indeed be not found among us here either. Let no man glory in men. For all things are yours. for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God. Children of the Lord, live far too low, not realizing their tremendous privileges that they have in Christ. What makes this Paul such a vibrantly joyful man in the midst of the most trialsome circumstances that some of us have never faced? Oh, he knows that he has been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That all things are his. That all what God has given in his Son is Paul's. And that includes faith and love and hope. And therefore, may I encourage you this week to come boldly to the throne of grace. I think it's John Newton in that little poem he writes, "We come to a great King and make sure you great petitions bring." This so generously gracious God and Father has committed himself and all that he is to the children of God that he has drawn and chosen, dead in trespasses and sin before. But God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love, wherewith he has loved us even when we were dead, has quickened us together with Christ. And friend, if that is you, if this holy God has come by you and turned you around and brought you out of that deadness into his life and grace, then all things are yours. Then blessed is the God and Father who has given you access to all the resources and all the blessings and all the powers that there are in him. And see, that's what Paul is praying for. And therefore, in a second thought, we need to pray with intensity for the very things that Paul prayed. For that though God's church may have all these riches, they may not experience them at the moment. They may not feel that sensible possession of it. They may not live in the strength of the faith of it. And maybe that's the thing that's also what Paul has been seeing in these Ephesians believers. They live under their privileges. They live not knowing fully what they have received in Christ already. And if you page back to the first prayer of this book in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul really also has a tremendously moving prayer where he begins in verse 16 to say, I don't cease to give thanks for you and to make mention of you in my prayers. And then look what he asks. He's asking God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of their understanding may be enlightened, and that they may know what is the hope of the calling that has taken place in their life. And now here in this prayer, he goes further into that, and he prays, Lord, wilt thou please strengthen these people out of the riches of thy glory, to be strengthened with might by the inner man. You know, we often struggle what to pray for. Maybe you feel sometimes you repeat the same things over. Maybe you think, oh, I do not know how to say it. I don't know what to bring before the Lord. Friends, that's why in the Bible you find so many prayers. Often it is those prayers which become my prayers as I read them and pray about them and pray through them. And so I hope that you may do that also this week as we look at this prayer. What is Paul asking for? Well, he wrestles for the Spirit's indwelling and strengthening. Let's read verse 16. That he would grant you and that he would grant us according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, who of God's children doesn't know that need? Who of God's children doesn't experience the need for the strength of the inner man to live the life that they so desire to live? Maybe you sit here tonight also, struggling to fulfill the great task you have in this life. And what is that? Oh, that's to glorify God. That is to live for Him. That is to fight the great warfare against Satan and sin and self. What is the great warfare? To love even the unlovable in a way that God loved. Who knows not the need for this strength, of this might, of the Holy Spirit in the inner man? And besides that warfare and that struggle to live for God's glory, maybe you face trials and afflictions and you're not facing them with great joy, as Paul did. Or maybe you are indeed struggling to believe and to rest and to rejoice in the finished work of Christ. And there are so many needs that the living church of God faces that would fit in this text. Lord, grant us that we may be strengthened by thy might and by thy spirit in the inner man. Oh, each believer will sense it. If only I could pray. If only I could love. If only I could be holy. If only I could be assured. If only I could rest and rejoice. Well, there's your petition then. If that's what your struggle is, then let's not only memorize this text, but pray this text. Pray it every day. Oh God, grant me that according to the riches of thy glory. Let's look at that phrase. The riches of thy glory. That is the glory of every attribute of God. That's the glory of every promise of God. That is the glory of everything that God has provided. I think it is Spurgeon who said, right, that God has a bank of all benefits and gifts and promises for His children. And now Paul says, Lord, minister out of this bank of thyself into my need daily. Let me be strengthened with might in the inner man, Lord, that I may truly live in a glorious, God-honoring way. In this week of preparation, we are to review our walk of life. We are to review how we live. Think of all those needs of you has as the empty vessels. Maybe vessel of self-denial is rather empty. Maybe the vessel of faith is rather empty. Maybe your vessel of rejoicing in tribulation. Maybe your vessel of patience, humility, meekness, gentleness. Maybe they're all empty. Maybe every one of them is empty. Well, the point is, set them all before the Lord this week. And ask Him, Lord, minister out of thy fullness and strengthen me by thy spirit, by the inner man, that I may live truly to thy glory. See, that verse, it's rich. But let me hasten on to the other verses. Wrestle for more of Christ. For more of Christ. Notice in verse 17 all the way through 19, the apostle basically praise, oh God, grant them to see and to taste and to experience more of Jesus Christ. What is he asking? That they may experience more of the love of Christ in the experience of the heart. Now, who of God's children doesn't feel that need tonight? Who of us does not feel tonight, oh God, if only I could be more sensing thy love to me. For that's what Paul is praying for. Lord, let these brothers and sisters there in Ephesus, let them indeed feel more of the love of Christ. And the first thing he says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now that's the same as being strengthened with might. If Christ lives in my heart by faith, I will instantly feel the strengthening of my inner man. That is the only way. The Spirit of God can never be received without the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God, my friends, can only be experienced in the communion of faith, through faith of Jesus. I should say it differently. Can only be experienced when by faith I have communion with Christ. That's the only way that we can experience the Spirit of God strengthening us in the inner man. Very important it is that we do not think that fellowship with Christ and faith in Christ is the same. Faith in Christ comes first, and fellowship with Christ or communion with Christ flows out of that. The more faith I may have in what He has done for me, the more faith I may have in what He's doing for me, the more I will experience the fellowship or communion with Him. And that is how the Spirit will strengthen me to live the life of faith, of obedience. John Calvin said it beautifully. He says, faith is the warm and the personal embrace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is the warm and the personal embracing of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which He dwells in us and we will be filled with His divine Spirit. Let's pray for that this week. That as He unfolds before us the tokens of His love, Lord, let Christ may dwell in my heart by faith, that I may embrace Him with a warm and a personal faith, and that I may experience again this communion with Thee more than I've ever had. Yeah, then he goes on, he says that Christ may dwell in your faith and that you may being rooted and grounded in love. He uses two examples. The word root points to a plant, and the word grounded points to a building. But both basically what Paul is praying for. He says, Lord, let the soil and the foundation of these Ephesians believers be the love of Christ. To be rooted, to be builded, to be filled with the love of Christ. Pray for that. As Jesus is in our midst, in the preaching and in the breaking of the tokens and the pouring out of the wine, and then those words come out of His mouth, this is my body, which is broken for you. This is the blood of my new covenant, which is shed for you. This is the message He wants to bring and reassure His people of. Now let us pray then this week. Oh God, that I may be rooted and may be grounded in the knowledge of that love that Thou hast shown in this so incredible sacrifice of Thy love. And he goes on a step further, that they may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And it's almost he doesn't even finish his sentence, but he appears to say that they may be able to comprehend with all those saints the love and the dimensions of the love of Christ. Now, who can begin to describe the dimensions of the love of Christ? Paul's heart is ravished with the love of Jesus. And in his language of love, he just wants to say how big it is. Oh, that you may know the breadth of it. It is not a small love. No, it is a love that loved the whole cosmos. God so loved the world. The entire creation that has rebelled against Him. And he will indeed renew it in the love of his grace, the breath of that love. He says, may they know more of the length of that love that goes back all the way in eternity. As Paul said in this first chapter, according as he has chosen us before the foundation of the world in him, having predestinated us into the adoption of children according to his good pleasure, that started all the way in eternity. And where is that love going to go to? That's going to be all the way to eternity again. That they may comprehend something of this love, this eternal love, by which he has loved them and by which he will love them. That they may know something of the depth of that love, Lord. This love has stooped so low, congregation. We'll see it on Sunday morning as I will lead you in the meditations to Psalm 22. So low. Jesus went into the very hell of hell in order to rescue his children from the righteous wrath of God. But not only did he go so low, no, he also reaches so low that he takes those sinners from the bottom. What is God's love great? That he so looks on the lowest sinners and reaches out his hand of grace. These Ephesians, they were men and women dead in trespasses. That means they lived according to the world, fully in the power and the addiction and the pollution of this world. And yet, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, said, live. Under the preaching of Paul or others, and they lived. That they may have more of an understanding of the depth of this love. And then he says, of the height of this love. And perhaps he's thinking of that they're going to be lifted off from the dunghill. And God's church will eventually be placed on the very throne with Jesus to share the glory of a new heaven and a new earth. Those are some things, isn't it? And Paul says, oh Lord, lead those Ephesian believers into these great thoughts of thy love. And then he comes to it one more time and he says that they may know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Now look at the impossibility in this verse. That they may know something which is beyond knowing. That they may know the love of Christ, which is completely beyond knowledge. It'll take an eternity to explore the ocean of the love and grace of God. May I quote you John Calvin again? He says, the love of Christ ought to occupy the daily and the night meditations of God's children, in which we ought to be wholly plunged. I love the way how this man puts it. That love of Christ ought to be the meditation day and night, in which our souls ought to be completely plunged. Are you living in that love, rooted and grounded in the meditations of this great incomprehensible love? To know this love, congregation, is more than knowing of your head. This is to know in the intimate experience. This is to know in the tasting of it. This is the knowing in which I may really indeed taste this love in my heart. Now that's worth striving for. That's worth wrestling. That God would grant us indeed to know this love of Christ which passes all understanding. And then the last part of this prayer really is the purpose of prayer. And this is completely beyond explanation. He says, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amazing, isn't it? If you think about this last petition, to be filled with all the fullness of God. To be filled with God is great. To be filled with the fullness of God is greater. But he's not asking that. He's asking to be filled with all the fullness of God. That's bewildering. How does he dare ask that? And see, Paul knows that all these resources that the Father has given and has bestowed on his church are for the church. And with great boldness does this man approach the throne of grace. He says that they may know all the fullness of God. What a prayer. The future of God's church is truly unfathomable. To be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, that's a prayer that will now never be answered. Because it's unanswerable. It will be an ongoing journey forever and ever to be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, if you travel all the rest of your life in this world, you'll never be able to fill all of the world in your little mind. People travel for hundreds of years, perhaps, seen everything in the world, but they have never seen it all. And Paul is asking here, Lord, let us be filled with all the fullness. You see, that's a great petition. And what a future when God indeed will continue to unfold more of his glories, more of his beauties, more of his riches in the everlasting ages to come. In your Bible, if you go back to chapter 2, verse 7, he kind of hints at it there. He raises up together, verse 6, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, the ages hereafter, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Friends, that's the future. And now God wants to hear, show something of that as he comes and brings us together around the word and around the sacrament. Now let us conclude. We must not doubt that God is not able to fulfill what he has promised. Paul ends with a doxology. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Now this closing doxology does not only refer to the petitions of the verses I have looked at with you, but probably to all the previous things that he has spoken about. And ultimately, that God will do these things is to his own glory. But for the point tonight, let's take this one point along. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Never doubt God. Never doubt God's willingness or never doubt God's ability. Have no fear that if your requests don't go beyond what the Word of God set before us tonight, that they will be denied, children of God. Jesus assured his church, if you ask in my name, you will receive it. There's many things we ask that the Lord doesn't give us because, well, it's either not his will or it's not good for us. But if I lay these petitions before him, I would never have to doubt that I'm asking for things I shouldn't be asking for. See, that's the safety of praying the petitions in the Scripture. Then you know this is the will of God for his people. That they would be filled, that they would know the love of Christ, that they would be strengthened with might in the inner man. No, have no fear to request. These things that are based on his promises, on the examples of inspired prayers, on the exhortations. Does God want his children to remember him with fondness and love and assurance? And the answer is yes. Then pray for that. Does God want his children to be strong in faith? Yes, he does. Let's pray for that. Not doubting that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. Does God want us to be filled with this fruit of the Spirit? He sure does. Let's pray for that. Does God want to fill us with the fineness of the wheat and with the honey from the rock? That's how He puts it in Psalm 81. He sure does. He says, if only they would have asked me, I would have filled them with the finest of the wheat. Congregation, from that scripture, I can only conclude one thing. That if God's church lives so poor and so needy, without these very things that Paul has been praying for, then maybe it is because they're not asking for it. In faith. In wrestling. For He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Come, never think little of God. To a great can come. Let us bring great petitions indeed. And may I conclude with that this evening as we read that poem together I put on your outline this day. It was striking me. I've been reading some of these beautiful hymns of former ages. Object of my first desire. Jesus crucified for me. All to happiness aspire, only to be found in Thee. Thee to please and Thee to know, constitute my bliss below. Thee to see and Thee to love, constitute my bliss above. Lord, it is not life to live, if Thy presence Thou deny. Lord, if Thou Thy presence give, 'tis no longer death to die. Source and giver of repose, only from Thy smile it flows, peace and happiness are Thine. Mine they are, if Thou art mine. Come, dearest Lord, descend, and dwell by faith and love in every breast. Then shall we know, and taste, and feel, the joys that cannot be expressed. Come, fill our hearts with inward strength, and make our enlarged souls possess, and learn the height, and breadth, and length, of Thy immeasurable grace. Let's pray these matters in these remaining days this week. Amen. Let's now seek the Lord together in prayer. Great Shepherd of Israel, gracious God and Father of all Thy chosen children, drawn and quickened out of death and darkness. And there may be such among us yet, Lord, that lie under that seal, uncalled, at this moment unquickened. But we beseech Thee and come before Thee in the very encouragement of this scripture tonight, to beseech Thee, O God, Thou who leadeth Thy people in love, shine Thou indeed from above, in upon our hearts this day. Oh, that we may learn to pray this week with these very petitions of the Apostle, Lord, that are inspired guidance for us in our personal prayer life. Oh, will Thou shine away the dimness and the doubts and the darkness, as none else can do it. For Thou knowest, Lord, the struggles that we may face. We sang a glorious song of praise this evening. And how little of that is heard today in and out of the mouth of Thy children among us. And, O God, we pray that Thou indeed will break through all our obstacles of unbelief. For to Thee we come, O good and gracious Shepherd. Teach Thou us Thy way, and teach us to live indeed by faith, and less by sight. But may indeed these very things, O God, that we were instructed in tonight, be realized in our midst, to be strengthened by thy Spirit, out of the riches of thy grace, out of that immeasurable and unfathomable riches, to be strengthened, O Lord, by thy Spirit to live the life to thy glory. Oh, that thou would raise up thy children, and that thou would strengthen each one of them in our midst, to so be living as Paul lived, in the confidence of faith, in the self-denying love, in that great way of serving in holiness. Lord, in whatever thou art calling us to do, will thou graciously grace us to be as an Enoch of old, to walk with thee when we do our work and when we live among the people among whom we live, strengthened with might. Come, we pray, O God, that thou would indeed strengthen thy church, that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith, that faith may be strengthened, that also thou wilt enable thy children to embrace thee with a warm and personal embrace, and to so be strengthened as we may sense the love and the communion with thy Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, grant a deep and a long-lasting taste of thy infinite love, that thy children may run the race with joy and may experience the victory over sin and Satan through thy Holy Spirit. Root thy children's heart in the love of Christ, evermore leading them, Lord, deeper and deeper in what the measures are of this love that spared not thy only begotten Son, but gave him while we were yet sinners, rebels, hostile, that then already thou gave Jesus Christ to die for them. Lord, strengthen thou thy church, filling them with all the fullness. We know that all the fullness will be reserved for the eternal glories hereafter. But fill thou them with thy Spirit already, that we may live in such a way, and Lord, that we may glorify thee. And so we pray that the sacrament this coming Sunday may be as a chamber of love, in which thou wilt unfold the banner of thy love before thy church, and that no doubt and no fears will becloud their hearts, but that they may eat and drink abundantly from the riches of that table of thy gospel. Yea, Lord, that all those dishes that we looked at in the previous Sundays may indeed be for the strengthening of their soul and of their walk through this life. And so, O God, we plead with thee to take mercy, to have mercy upon us all, also on those of us who are ignorant, unsaved, who do not know the very things that the apostle wrestled about. O, we beseech thee, Lord, for a shower of thy convicting power, to awaken and to convert anyone that is unsaved, that may also be in this evening among us. And we thank thee for, Lord, their willingness to be here tonight. But make it be a special day in which one truth of thy word may have also touched their soul. Come, Lord, make a name for thyself, O great Jehovah, and raise thou thyself the dead, and make the living sing. We ask it all, undeserved, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing 431 in our closing song. And again, what an encouraging song that is. Open, saith the Lord, wide thy mouth. Believing this my covenant word, I will. If thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving. Let's do 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 431. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and let us go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.